Happy holidays, Cyclone Nation. Welcome to the only podcast you're going to get this week, so you better suck it up and you better enjoy it, because this is it as far as the Cyclone Fanatic podcast goes. Of course, we're powered by the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. I'll just be honest with you guys. I've been hiding it for a while. I've told you about my buddy Dr. Nicholson, who started going to him. Is my primary healthcare physician in Ankeny. Had a few issues. At the age of 30, a couple weeks ago, I had to skip my Vikings game and I had to get a colonoscopy. And then I had to drink all that barium stuff.
Mm.
Hey, Rob Gray.
How are you?
How old are you?
45. Oh,
you got the colonoscopy coming up.
I'm a grizzled veteran. They actually had me. I got to do a... how do we say this? Less intrusive version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm not going to die.
Excellent.
So, it's good. Found a few things, but we're just working it out.
Okay.
But my point is, I'm glad I went to the doctor.
Absolutely.
They found some stuff in my physical, and I'm glad I went, because if I would have waited, the point of this is, I'm not just telling you this because they pay me to. Like, this is actually real. And I'm glad that I went, because had I waited, could have been something.
Absolutely.
So, iamenscenter.com. And I'll say this, too. It's weird stuff to talk about. If you need any recommendations or anything, email me. And I'll put you in touch with my friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Send me a PM, whatever. Podcast time. This is a week, Rob, where not many people want to do too much work.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because you got Christmas in the middle.
Exactly.
Everybody's kind of just going through the motions at this point.
To some degree, yeah.
Yeah. No bowl game. So we're kind of going through the motions too, aren't we?
Well, I think, you know.
You're working hard on a Nas Long feature, though.
Yes, yes. There's going to be a big one.
Big Daddy.
Hoping to put that through between Christmas and New Year's in advance of the Mississippi Valley State will roll in at 1-11 or whatever.
Yeah, that'll be a doozy.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the Mississippi Valley State that almost beat the Cyclones a few years ago.
It is not.
It's a team that I think TCU doubled up, 106-53.
Yeah.
Number 25 TCU.
Yeah, which I don't think they deserve to be ranked.
Absolutely not.
I like TCU. I've been saying that since before the season. I thought they
love
were
the coat. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they were going to be a much improved back. They're not a top 25 team, no matter what anybody tries to tell you.
Yeah.
But no, it's just a week. It's a weird week, though, with when you have Christmas in the middle. You've got a lot of people just take this week off entirely. School's not in session at Iowa State. You know, you've got the players.
No availability.
No availability. Yep. So we're going to kind of – we're hitting cruise control, but we're still, I think, going to have a fun podcast today.
Yeah.
Where I basically just threw it out to the Fanatics. I said, hey – I told them, I said, Big 12, Iowa State, Christmas, ask us questions.
They're smarter than we are.
And the thing is, Rob, I have not pre-read these questions.
Okay.
So this is like a raw
– this is like an unscreened call-in show.
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent.
Yeah. So how about we just dig
Splendid.
In?
Splendid.
We're going to go for about an hour, and we're going to get as many of these questions in as possible. So without further ado, where did that come from? What's the origin?
With the word ado, it had to be a French origin.
I was thinking of a soccer player.
Not even
– Freddie.
No. It well predates Freddie. A-D-I-E-U.
Let's go. Let's dig in and start with an email. I just got a text. That was why I said that. With a note from CMJH10. Now, that's a creative username.
Absolutely.
There ain't nobody else in the world with that username.
I've said absolutely about 8 times. Damn it.
This is exactly how he wrote this. What do you think Moyberg does with McKay the rest of the way? I think he meant to say Hoiberg.
I think he meant to say
Hoiberg. Does he continue to come off the bench? Does he eventually get inserted into the starting lineup? If he does, who sits? Merry Christmas, CW. Well, CMJH10 out of Ames. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. And don't ever make anybody force you to say Happy Holidays.
I say happy holidays.
Yeah, you can say it. I got no problem with that. Yeah. But I'm going to say Merry Christmas, and nobody's going to force me to say happy holidays.
Of course, yeah. It's good. I'm good with that.
Getting political now. Yeah. All right, well, I'll throw that to you, Rob, because I talked about it at length last week. I don't see the need to start Jameel McKay right now. Do I think he's capable of being a starter at Iowa State? Absolutely. This is going to be largely dictated off of matchups. But right now, I think he's better off the bench. Where do you sit on this question?
I do too, and I know some, including our esteemed colleague Randy Peterson, have you know, kind of gone out there and said, you know, he will be up to a 30-minute a game guy and a start. You know, based on his ability and what he can do, particularly on the defensive end, he could very well be that guy who starts and plays up to 30 minutes a game or so. I think, yeah, it's the old if it ain't broke, don't fix it deal. You know, Hogue struggling a little bit around the rim, but got his three-point game going. He's still flying around like crazy, getting rebounds himself or for others. Naz is Naz, shooting the ball the way that he is. Got a little bit of point work in against Drake. He's playing well. He's really upped his game on the defensive end as his career has gone on. So I think he continues to come off the bench for, you know, the foreseeable future. And then, you know, depending on the results, you know, Fred isn't going to just say, well, he's played a few games coming off the bench. He's going to start now because he had a preconceived notion that he was going to start at that certain time. It's going to be based on how he produces. And if he can continue to produce 8 points, five rebounds in per 13 minutes, he'll probably find a way to work himself into the starting lineup.
I don't think I agree with what Brent Bloom said last week on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show when we had this conversation about keeping Naz and or Matt Thomas on the floor at the same time. From a spacing perspective, I think it's important to have one of those guys out there. So I guess my guess right now is that he is a sixth man the rest of the way, but I'm certainly not counting out him playing, him starting. He's clearly talented enough.
Yep.
And I really don't know because we haven't seen him. That was just the tip of the iceberg, what we saw on Saturday against Drake. He's going to get much better. And if he gets rolling enough, it may come to a point where they can't keep him out of the starting lineup. Preconceived notion out there is that it'll be Naz who goes to the bench just because he's such a great team guy. And that could be, but I'm kind of with Bloom. I like having one of those shooters out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Cyclone Eric. I love Cyclone Eric. I like how he spells his name, E-R-I-K. Yeah. It's very unique.
It's a good spelling.
Shout out to you, Cyclone Eric. Merry Christmas, my friend. Iowa State's highest ranking of the year. He says, I think it's going to be sixth because those top three will never drop down. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean.
That's fair. I don't know. They could crack the top five.
I think they could. I mean, it all depends, obviously, on how well they start the Big 12. I can't stumble, obviously, against South Carolina and Brooklyn.
Where's the next loss?
Whew.
Here's your next few games. You got Mississippi Valley State, South Carolina. I don't see them either losing either of those. Oklahoma State at West Virginia. That's tough.
Yeah.
So we're saying three more, put them at 12-1. That'll probably get them around 7th or 8th. There's not a lot of marquee games for other people to drop out. You're not getting very good wins right there. I don't know. They could make the top five. It'll be tough, though, because the Big 12 is such a juggernaut this year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that West Virginia game, you know, I know 1 year's game doesn't have any bearing on the next year's, but West Virginia's very hungry. They haven't been where they wanted to be, obviously, since joining the Big 12 after having quite a good deal of success under Huggins.
Yeah. Do you want to know what's funny?
I think they're going to be loaded up.
You said that they're hungry. So if your children are listening, you're driving to Christmas, you may tell them to plug their ears. This is what my dad always says when he's, like, starving.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm so hungry I could eat the rotten crotch of a bear on the rag.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't care.
Managed just to be anti-PC and graphically sort of love your dad. That's a great, great analogy.
I don't care who you are. That's funny.
It is.
So I interrupted your actual analysis for that.
Oh yeah, I think there's a really good chance they don't win at West Virginia, but I don't think
they'll win at West Virginia.
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me if they won. In terms of ranking, obviously, you want to finish strong like last year. I mean, they went from probably a 7-8 seed based on the strength of the Big 12 tournament, and of course Nazis Heroics fairly late in the year again against Oklahoma State to really, would they end up a 5 last year?
Yeah.
Trying to remember.
Iowa State?
Or a 4.
Iowa State was a 3.
3, that's right. Yeah, so they made a huge jump over that time, you know. So I guess, yeah, it all depends on what all those other teams ahead of them do and
it's
whether
gonna
anybody
be,
jumps them.
But. It'll be tough in the Big 12. I mean, I think the team who wins that league will probably have 4 losses.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe even co-champs of 5. I mean,
it's a meat grinder.
Yeah, and with TCU being better, again, they haven't played anybody, but that becomes a game that where
it's a place
you
to
can't
win
count
at.
On it. Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me of Colorado.
Yeah.
Remember how hard it was to play at Colorado 15 years ago?
Yeah, minus the altitude. And
that's
fans
true.
Might actually be excited at TCU now, but, I mean, Kansas went there and lost. I mean, something about that place.
Better stroke Adam Gray's ego. As if his one spot a week on the podcast isn't enough. He feels like when I throw it out to the Fanatics for questions that he has to be in the middle of the question asking too. This is for you.
He's passionate.
How does Rob feel about being the second coolest person on Fanatic with the last name of Gray?
You know, I can't argue with that, frankly. I mean, he's cooler than I am. I mean, that's fine.
What's the definition of cool?
I'm 45 years old. I like to, when I'm not enjoying maybe one too many beers or a frozen pizza, I like to go eat health food. And there's nothing very cool about me, I have to say. So I've got no problem with that.
I think you're cool.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm a nice guy. I there are quirks about me and parts of my history that I think people would consider cool, but I am also a 45-year-old dude.
World traveler.
Yeah, world traveler.
Have you ever been to Antarctica?
Never there. Just Central America.
I'm not
backpacking
impressed.
And
Central America. I could go have
Guatemala?
A cup of coffee in
it's
Central America.
It's like a top
America.
5 murder. It's been a top 5 murder rate place when I was by myself backpacking.
We were actually at one point my wife and I were looking into adopting from Guatemala, and I learned a lot about that country in a little bit. When
it's,
you start
it's,
doing,
it's a magnificent country.
You can't adopt.
The people are wonderful.
Can't adopt from there.
But a lot of drug channels up there.
Yeah,
here I'm
they
I'm
shut it down.
The whole thing. But I mean, very warm, wonderful people. Great history, of course. The Mayan civilization is kind of the seat there to call. It's a beautiful place to go.
When you were in Guatemala, did you ever see a human sacrifice?
I did not. Although I did see perhaps depictions, you know, at Tikal, there's some of those temples with the really steep.
Did you ever see a man's
steps.
Head chopped off?
I didn't.
Just a sacrifice
although,
to the gods?
Funny story, when I was in Guatemala, Fred was still playing. This is how old I am.
Fred Hoiberg?
Yes.
Okay.
Still playing. At this place
and you were just backpacking around Guatemala?
At this place in Antigua, I spent 2 months, Belize, Guatemala, Honduras. And
Honduras?
Honduras.
Okay.
They had this place. It was called El Gallo, like the rooster.
Okay.
And they had ESPN.
No crap.
And I'm not kidding. So I sidle up to the bar, drank some of the local, the beer, is the national beer is Gallo, too.
Gallo?
So rooster is a big deal there. Big Monday. Big Monday.
Nice.
I can't remember who they played.
It had to be like Greg Ostertag.
It was Big Country. It was fantastic either way, and I was just soaking in the scores because this is, I think, 95. So it's not – you're not – you have a cell phone. I mean, you don't know what's going on for a while.
Yeah.
And Fred had a big game, but they closed the bar at halftime. At halftime. I think it was an 8 o'clock game. And then some guy got in a knife fight 3 bars down. So I will say,
did you avoid the knife fight?
I did avoid. I walked out into the streets of Antigua in the aftermath of the knife fight, and did not see the perpetrator or those involved. But how about that, Fred Hoiberg, watching him play in Antigua, Guatemala during a backpacking trip.
And now you're senior writer for CycloneFanatic.com.
Grizzled senior citizen. Yes.
All right, let's move on.
Yes.
Cy Revka, I believe. Is how that username is pronounced. New Christmas traditions. Are you doing anything for the baby this Christmas? I assume that the baby that's swimming around in my wife's belly right now. Any names that are top contenders? I'm really pushing for George with an S. Really pushing hard for that.
Like Yorgios?
Yorgios. No, not so much. But I'm really pushing for George with an S. That's assuming it's a boy. We don't know what we're having.
Why not Nazareth?
That's good, too.
Yeah.
Naz Williams. I think that'd be nice.
Very nice.
That's actually got a really nice little ring
very
to it.
Very nice ring to it.
I think Naz would really welcome the Godfather role.
Very much so. And see, George see. George Williams kind of has a nice, it's like you pull in.
It's like a country
a little
singer.
Star Wars, that too. But I mean, yeah. You got George Lucas, you got John Williams, did the music for that.
No, it's George Strait and George Niang. Nobody else. Those are your influences.
All right. You got it.
Yeah, I'm
you're
looking
the dad.
For,
you're the dad in this
I'm
case.
I'm pushing for George with an S, but the wife may have something to say about that. I'm going to surprise you, fanatics. I'm not telling you the name now, but I am pushing for George with an S, really. Am I doing anything for the baby? My wife bought it a book. So my wife, she's due on February 20th, so apparently the baby can hear me now. Mm. So this is cool, the coolest thing about the baby. So it's a very active baby late at night.
Okay.
And, like, we're lying there at, like, midnight trying to go to bed. And the baby's just going nuts. And my wife can't fall asleep. So I'm like, all right, let me got out some Willie Nelson on the old cell phone the other night. Right to sleep. I was doing it again. Pulled out some Randy Travis. Right to sleep. My baby apparently has a passion for good quality country music like its father.
And I don't really like country, but those are two artists I can get behind.
Yeah. I mean, Willie's I feel fantastic. Like if I'm hiking around Guatemala, Willie Nelson, I mean, that's the perfect guy to listen to. No, but the baby loves, like, real country music, not the garbage you hear on the radio these days. It likes real country.
George Jones.
Played some George Jones
Charlie
for it.
Pride.
Every night before we go to bed, we play real, and I give it a lesson, and I say, hey, you know. And I'll rip like Luke Bryan and Florida Georgia Line and all the douches that are out there representing the genre nowadays. And we have a country music history lesson. And then I'm kind of like a DJ. Then we bring it home with a little Hank, and the baby loves it.
Senior, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Either way, I like them both.
Okay.
Junior's nuts.
Yeah.
But like his music.
Still good
okay.
music. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, are we doing anything for the baby? We are. Not buying each other gifts to save money for the baby. So that's what we're doing for the baby. New Christmas traditions. I can't wait. My life's kind of an open book on here, and I'm fine with that. You all are like my family anyways. We tried for a really long time and really hard to have a baby, and we finally have one. We've been blessed with it. So, like, when it is here next year, like, I'm going to get, like, on the roof and walk around and, like, so they think Santa's up. We're going to do it big. It's going to be great.
Yep.
What about you, Rob? You have two children.
Yes.
What do you guys do? What's the gray Christmas like?
It's kind of interesting because my wife's not sentimental in the least.
That's okay.
So she's not really into the traditions aspect. We do some things like, you know, when we were growing up, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, we always at least managed to get the tablets away and everything else, and we will sit for that prescribed amount of time and watch Rudolph together. And, you know, Christmas Eve is with my family, and Christmas Day is with her side of the family.
And your families are where?
She's from Corning. And
yeah, God's country, Adams County, the Adams County Speedway, baby.
Absolutely.
That's where I cut my teeth in the broadcasting game.
I threw out another absolutely, two of them. And my parents are actually from Ames, where I grew up. So it's a nice...
It's like the two greatest places in the world, Southwest Iowa and Ames.
You can't go wrong.
No.
Really. I mean, so a lot of fun stuff. A lot of, you know, Christmas
How old are you
Eve
kids
service.
Now?
And 9, and my son will be 6 on December 28th.
Judging by your Facebook page, your son appears to be a bit of a wild child.
He's probably going to be like me. Back when I was cool, I was kind of the class clown. And, well, I thought it was cool anyway. Some other people did, and kind of a wise ass. And I think he's got a little bit of that in him. Our daughter's like already getting incredible marks in school, and she's very well behaved. And I think he's going to be.
So she clearly got that from your wife.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and there's another absolute, but he no doubt that came from her.
Cy Twins. On any word on any basketball recruits, where they stand, Diallo, Coffee, Bridges, etc. I'll speak on Diallo. I think that it's still an outside chance for Iowa State, but a chance. I feel like Iowa State has always been in a better chance, better spot to land him than they ever were with Rashad Vaughn. Mm-hmm. People ask me all the time about Rashad Vaughn at this point last year. I never once thought he would end up at Iowa State. And I said that a lot, too. And people would almost get mad at me. But just hearing background noise, and I didn't see any way that kid would ever end up in an Iowa State uniform, no matter what him and his handlers were saying.
Yep.
Diallo seems different to me. He genuinely likes Fred Hoiberg, Iowa State. Not that Vaughn didn't, but I always thought there were other aspects in play that would lead Vaughn somewhere else, and I didn't know where. And I'm not accusing UNLV of cheating. Don't read into that.
Yeah.
I just thought there were too many pieces moving around constantly with Rashad Vaughn, and I never thought he would be in Ames. Diallo seems different to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he genuinely likes Iowa State, the basketball program, and feels like he could come to Iowa State and get to the next level. Coffee and Bridges, full disclosure, I've not covered the recruitment much. I don't know much about where Iowa State stands at this point. I'll say a general commentary on that and throw it to you, Rob. Recruiting's just so weird to cover anymore.
Yeah.
With basketball recruiting, it's just the transfer thing has changed everything. Handlers, AAU, it's very difficult. It's almost impossible to break a recruiting story.
Yeah.
Because with Twitter,
and the kids frequently break it themselves.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, so our philosophy at Cyclone Fanatic is I'm not even trying to break recruiting stories anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If I get one, great. If not, I don't sweat it. I want to be the first one to have an opinion.
Yep.
Have a podcast to react to that story. So that's why, and we've changed. It started off the origins of what we were doing here. We were breaking a lot of news, but a lot has changed in 5 years on that front.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I think it's mostly the kids breaking it in their own right. And another good thing is obviously trying to track those guys down whenever you can. Some guys are eager to talk. Some guys, you call them a number of times, and they just don't want to get back to you.
At that level, it's tough.
So, but I think for most of those guys, it's outside shot. But with Hoiberg's track record with transfers, I mean, you're getting a ready-made player. I mean, I just still think it's genius the way it's been done. That you're getting a guy with maturity to some degree. I mean, little shenanigans here and there at times, but, more physical and mature body that you can plug right in there who's got experience versus a guy fresh out of high school, no matter who he played on the AU circuit or at his high school, just isn't going to match that.
Yeah.
So when you get DeAndre Kane, when you get Bryce DeJohn Jones, when you get, go back to Chris Allen, so many guys that could contribute right away. I mean, that's... You can't be sure of that. Yeah, Rashad Vaughn's contributing at UNLV for a very average UNLV team. But, I say the more transfers, the merrier, frankly. And pick your spots with high school guys. You get great guys like Monte George.
Mm-hmm. The lifeblood of this program.
Yeah, I mean, George and Nez are definitely
that. You got to hope that Thomas and Clayton Custer can continue that on. The next few years.
Yes.
Because they need the core guys, the Melvin Edgems who are...
And that leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Cyclone State. He's got it spelled weird. Yo, C-Dubs. What's up, man? Are Die Hard and Rocky IV considered Christmas movies, in your opinion? Absolutely. Do they take place at Christmas? Yes, they do. I'd always considered the Die Hard more of a Christmas movie than Rocky IV. Having said that, Rocky IV is probably my favorite sports movie of all time. I love it. It gets me all jacked up, and I hate the Russians. So I can't stand the Russians.
You will lose.
I will break you.
Yes.
And, man, when Rocky is out in the wilderness, like, chopping wood and doing the pull-ups.
Running in the snow that was about waist deep, and then their little Mercedes are sliding into the banks.
Yep. Yeah. I love that movie.
It's just like strike one for the cold. His speech at the end is so awesome and funny.
Yeah.
I've ever done the program. If I can change, you can change.
We all can change.
Come on. And then the Gorbachev, fake Gorbachev dude with the birthmark just kind of, okay, he gets up and starts.
It's such a stereotypical movie, too. Oh. Like with the Russian stereotypes in it.
What's up? Isn't that freaking robot up in the beginning?
Yeah.
So their life there at with Talia Shire and his
wife. Yeah.
It is a...
I will break you.
Massively entertaining movie.
Oh, I love it. Die Harder. My father-in-law and I always watch the Die Hards. Yeah, absolutely. I think they're Christmas movies. No question. Just get Cy. Okay. I think we can agree that if we had to pick one weakness of Hoiberg's team, it would be our defense. In your opinion, has there been any significant drop-off since Doc is no longer on the bench? McKay should help defend the rim. What do you see as the ceiling for this D? And can we get to a level that catapults us to the title contender? I thought in Kansas City there was the defense was major weak spot. I actually had that conversation with numerous people. They missed Doc Sadler, what I was seeing defensively. It's gotten better, though.
Yeah.
It has gotten significantly better since that since Thanksgiving week. And I think that the defense, too, Rob, it's really hard to judge Iowa State's defense just based off of pace of play.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just – and it's like – it just maddens me watching, you know, analysts talk about Big 12 defenses in football. Well, you're going to give up more points when you're moving the ball twice as fast as the Big Ten is.
Yep.
You can't just go by points per game. And I think it's a similar deal with Iowa State's defense. The – you know – well, I don't know where Iowa State's at in pace of play, but it has to be top 20 right now,
yep.
I would think, nationally. So that means the other team is getting more opportunities to score the basketball too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very it bothers me when I hear people rip the – and you're probably right. If you had to pick a weakness, I would say backup point guard. You need to find something.
Yes.
I don't trust Naz, and Clayton Custer's not there yet. But if you're looking for more of a broad thing, I guess I would say – defense, but I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be either, though.
Oh, I don't either. I mean, one of the things that McKay adds is they don't have to – they had to double the post, it seems like, all the time against almost anybody, and mm-hmm. they'd be the open three-point shooter. I mean,
how many times have we seen that game plan against Kansas the last 2-3 years?
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's all it was.
Yeah, over and over. And now with him out there, you know, however many minutes it is, there's less need, if any need, to double the post there.
Mm-hmm.
That should help. Just guys will be in position to close out better at the perimeter. Teams are shooting at a really good clip. I'm trying to remember where the second rate is, somewhere in 240s, 250s in terms of three-point percentage defense, shooting percentage defense. But I think they're bodying up pretty well inside. I mean, is George going to be an elite defender? No, but he's an elite everything else. So, and again, pace of play, like you said, I mean, if you're going to be one of the leading scoring teams in the nation, well, you're not beating everybody by now. You're not been winning by an average of 45 points. So the other team's average is going to go up too.
Exactly.
And that's particularly for Iowa State, a poor measuring stick, you know, opponent's points per game.
Well, think about Baylor in football. But, you know, judging Baylor's defense the same way you would judge Wisconsin's defense.
Yeah.
It's – You've got to dig deeper into the stats than just look at points per game, what they're giving up. Oh, this one's better.
Yeah.
The Big 12 doesn't play defense in football. Or is it that their offenses are twice as fast as everybody else? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's more complex than that. But that I think we answered his question.
Yep.
Cyclo1. Some of you guys, I'm sorry, I'm killing your usernames. He's got like four questions. Let's make them quick, our responses. How many wins do you see TCU getting in the Big 12? Do they finish last again? Absolutely not. 4 to 5 wins, 6 wins maybe?
I think maybe 6.
Okay. We're in the same ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably I would lean more towards 6 than I would 4. All right. Number of three-pointers you expect Matt Thomas to hit this year? I don't know. A couple a game.
Yeah, I'd say maybe average.
One and a half a game.
Say average 1.5 a game, yeah.
Okay, we're in the same spot. Number of Naz Long buzzer beaters? 2? 1? What? 1. Buzzer beaters are a really hard thing to predict.
Yeah,
dude.
And in law of averages, how many do you have last year? Yeah, the Oklahoma State ones.
It's going to even out at some
one.
Point.
I mean, yeah, I'll go 2.
Okay, I'll go 1. So 1.5. Final assist turnover ratio for Monte Morris. Does he break his own record? Well, he's on pace 2 now.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is he at like right now? Like 7-1?
I think he does. I think it's high 6-1 or something like that.
I would say
last year was 4.79.
I would say
he
drops to like 5-1.
Yeah. I could see 5-5.5-1. I think, yeah, he breaks his own record.
Okay. Cyclones 500. What do you consider the top Iowa State sports moment story of 2015, or top 5 if you prefer? I'm actually writing this column. I'm working on this column already, which is my Iowa State year in review. The top sports moment of the year, Rob, is George Niang breaking his foot.
Yeah. I mean, if you just from a strictly news value,
yeah,
and impact on
absolutely.
Team sports, yeah.
That's the top moment. And it's not the best moment,
yeah.
Obviously. But I mean, if you're talking about the the biggest moment of the year for Iowa State. That doesn't happen. You may win a national title.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge moment. That's what I would say. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say, obviously on the positive front, I think even bigger than making the Sweet 16 is winning that Big 12 conference tournament.
Oh, yeah.
What it meant, you know, Hoiberg's sons, you know, coming up on the, you know, the joy I saw from him, them, I mean, players, Hoiberg's family, I mean, was so, it was a whirlwind kind of thing because we're all on deadline. Don't have to worry about that anymore, but we're all on deadline.
Welcome to the internet world, baby.
In the print world. But there was a really special quality to that I won't ever forget in terms of covering the team. But, yeah, in terms of significance, George's injury is definitely that, because Fred himself said many times that he thinks they could have and maybe even should have won it all if George stays healthy. And that's – you know, Fred's not prone to hyperbole.
No.
I mean, he'll tell it like it is when he thinks the defense is not up to par and all that and a number of other things. So, yeah, definitely I agree with you on the significance of that one.
That's a good point with the tournament, though. For some reason, I had forgotten just off the top of my head here. I'm sure I would have found it. But, yeah, I mean, as far as positives go, wins – That was clearly the biggest one. But, yeah, Cyclones 500, stay tuned, because I've been brainstorming. I write that column every year. A couple days after Christmas, I sit down, and that's what I work on. So we'll get to that. Carver's for math. This is about the Greek, Yorgos. This may not be appropriate, as it's kind of personal about a player, but I'm curious if the Greek – gets to go home for Christmas, or will the family come here? The New Year's Eve game may be his last chance for a while to get much playing time, so those would be some pretty long flights, kind of exhausting. On the other hand, don't want him to be homesick. I don't know. I would assume he's going to go home. I don't know that, though. I truly don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. I think they'd certainly make him feel at home here. I'm leaning toward maybe not going home. You know, they're back at it the 31st. It's a long flight just to London, Paris, you know, it's going to be a little bit longer to Athens, I presume is where they'd fly in and then go from there. But, you know, wherever he's at, I hope he's enjoying himself. I mean, I think most people who are realistic knew he'd have a limited impact this year, and he's very much a developmental player.
Yeah.
But you can see that stroke, you know, when he hit that three off that sweet assist from Stensland against Drake.
Your boy.
Yeah.
You know, you're a big fan of him.
Anybody who is a walk-on, I mean, Cortland Jackson, too, Hoover Huskies. Those guys that put in the scout team work, that are the minutes are scarce and can have their moments in the limelight at times, not dunking for a technical, maybe, if that's what happened in one game.
I'd rather have a walk-on that gets a T for dunking than one that doesn't get a T
Absolutely.
For dunking.
But I know I'm a big fan of all those guys going way back.
Okay, so Cy Bry then follows it up with, how about an update on Yorgos? How is he adjusting? How is his game coming along? That sounds like a good Rob Gray feature.
Yeah, I think that would be a good feature to dive into shortly after the new year. Just, you know, the challenges he's faced. And as Fred alluded to, at the time of his signing, they play such a different game in Europe. You know, so many big guys are meant to be, you know, inside-outside players. And they're not very physical. I can tell you when I was in the Czech Republic living there for a little while.
You lived in the Czech Republic,
yes.
Too? My God, where didn't you live?
Prague. Most of the time.
I thought it was Prague.
Prague. But just from playing pickup games, I'd get called for fouls going up for rebounds.
Yeah, you just sneeze on a guy.
I didn't even touch the guy.
Yeah.
I'd get called, and then you call your own, you know. So I was getting pretty upset. I fouled out of a game we played in a little – I got to play on this little company thing.
I was gonna say,
Armor All of Prague.
Were you like a European player back before you started sports writing?
I was very much a guy who was decent pickup player in the United States, which meant I got called for fouls a lot in
Europe. I've seen you shoot baskets before interviews. You can stroke
it. I'm not that bad.
You can stroke it.
Can't quite get it going from the 3-point line like you. But in terms of Yorgos,
that's all I can do.
I mean, he adapting to that level of physicality and just the strength that those people have, you know, lends itself to when he plays now, he's going to be more of a perimeter-oriented guy. Now, if he puts more weight on his body, lowers the center of gravity as much as he can and just learns to use his body in that way. He can work very much in the interior as well. I think the ceiling's fairly high for him. It's just we're barely, you know, we're working up from the ground floor.
I wish they could have redshirted him.
Would have been great.
But it's hard to do that when a kid's coming that far. It's hard to say.
And the national team. I mean,
we're not going to start your clock. Yeah. That's tough. Dazer Rupp. Looking at the other Big 12 men's basketball teams at this point in the season, have there been any surprises, good or bad, to you? Have these surprises changed your outlook on how Iowa State will do come conference play? I think Texas is better than I thought. I undervalued Texas, and I knew that they had a lot coming back. Clearly, I knew they had Miles Turner. I kind of thought maybe that they had overperformed last year and that they would kind of take a step back and be better than last year, obviously, but I didn't see them as a 1-2. I saw them as like a 3-4 mm-hmm. in the Big 12. They're clearly a 1-2. I'm sold on them.
Yeah.
Kansas is – their resume is probably the best in the Big 12, even with the loss. I mean, they're, you know, wins. They've got 5 wins over KenPom top 50s at this point. They haven't been pretty wins, but they're wins. I think they have the best resume in the league. I think Baylor is going to be a little better than I thought. Oklahoma State's I haven't been high on them at all. I thought TCU would finish ahead of Oklahoma State. I still think that's going to happen. Those middle of the pack teams, I think Kansas State is about what I thought they would be. No, I think it's a. There's not been any glaring surprises to me. I am not surprised that TCU is undefeated at this point. Not surprised in the slightest.
No, it was very much like their schedule is very much like the first year under Hoiberg here at the non-conference. Yeah. I mean, the first year they rolled through the non-conference, lost maybe one game, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I'm
trying to remember, and then the Big 12 hit, and it was a lot of close losses and not so close losses. Oklahoma played a tough schedule too, not as tough as Kansas.
Yeah, they're going to be fine.
They're going to be right there. I still think like everyone else, it's not a cop out. It's Kansas's title to lose based on many years in a row.
I'll tell you this though, Rob, I completely agree, by the way. If you would line Iowa State and Kansas up right now, neutral floor, I'd take Iowa State without thinking twice. Just right now, where they're at this point in the season.
I might think twice, I think the Cyclones could win 6 out of 10, maybe, of those matchups right now.
Rabuk? See, I see all these names, but I'd never really have to pronounce them ever. Who won in the fight, Santa Claus or Mike Ditka? Going with my guy Santa Claus.
I think so too.
He's got. You're telling me this guy can fly around to every house in the world and deliver presents. He's magical. And mm-hmm. you're telling me he couldn't beat up Ditka? Please.
Think of the weight of that bag when he pulls it. Slings it over his shoulder. I know it's in the sleigh some of the time, but I mean, if somebody's wanting like a plasma TV or something. Well, plasma's going out a bit. Big, like an 80-inch TV. That's got to be in that bag. That's heavy. He could swing it at Ditka, too.
Yeah. Just jack Ditka in the face. Yeah. Knock him out.
Ditka's past his prime.
Cyclone Stunners. Shout out to Cyclone Stunners. Sat next to him at a Vikings game this year. Hmm. He bought two of my tickets for the Lions game. It was a horrible game, but we got to know each other pretty well. Good guy. What's your take on the McDonald's All-Americans and how since the McDonald's All-American inception, no team has won a national championship without one. Is it just that teams that do well recruit them more, or is it something that will likely preclude Iowa State from making a title grab? Interesting, but I think the transfers change everything, as we kind of alluded to. No, I don't think anymore that's an interesting stat. But I don't think that these days you have to have one. I mean, I think that DeAndre Kane is arguably as valuable as the most, not all, of McDonald's All-Americans. I mean, Embiid and Wiggins had something to say about that last year, obviously, and Okafor, and there's mm-hmm. guys out there. But I think that if you get enough guys like that, it's kind of an equalizer for, Iowa State's. You'd like to think that eventually they could get a couple of McDonald's All-Americans, and I think as long as Hoiberg is here, they're going to be in the ballpark, but you still have to have your own little niche.
Yep.
And that's what the transfers have done. Clearly, Fred's very good at identifying who can do it. And, we're at the point now, Rob, where 2 years in a row now you've got transfers, top-level transfers, who are agreeing to pay their own way for a semester just to play at Iowa State. Yeah. That tells you something.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely correlation. The Blue Bloods, the Kentuckys, the Kansas. I mean, that's where the McDonald's All-Americans want to go, and therefore it makes the team better, and therefore they tend to win national championships. You know, throw Michigan State in there, some of the others. I mean, I think it's one thing feeds off the other.
Absolutely.
That makes any sense?
No, it does. Durango Sigh, part one. This Deontay Burton fellow, what's his deal? We've written a lot about him. I don't want to get too far into this. This is old news for a lot of people. But he's 6'4", 240, combo. He was an all-Big East rookie team last year. Nice player. Sounds like the Jameel McKay relationship dating back to high school was key, as they are both Milwaukee guys. Obviously, both went to Marquette. But it sounds to me like he's a sharp guy. This is not like a guy with a checkered history.
Mm-hmm.
He'll help Iowa State. He's an impact guy when he's eligible. Do you have any disagreements with that?
No, I agree. I mean,
he's not DeAndre Kane, I don't think.
No, but I mean, he has shown that he can shoot it from deep, and he also can really take it to the rim hard. You'd always like a guy like that. It has a little bit more length and bulk than other guys. Mm-hmm. In that situation, you know, if somebody comes out and tries to block the three or bother him out there, he can go in and just posterize somebody. So it'll be interesting to see. Again, very different style of play than what he had at Marquette. Always seems to appeal to guys, and guys seem to end up being more productive.
Yeah.
When they end up, but I mean, I think, yeah, definitely a high impact guy. Eventually, we know Russ develops, and he'll face that just like anybody else.
Part two, this seems like a hypothetical. ISU has an amazing season, wins the Big 12 regular season, gets upset in KC by Texas, ends up at number two in the Midwest. Okay. All the talking heads here believe that we got screwed, is what Durango Sai says. Kentucky continues to be Kentucky, gets the top seed in the same region in Cleveland. We both make the Elite Eight. Who wins? What's the score? Does Iowa State get a written apology from the NCAA concerning the officiating afterwards? Does LeBron go on or boycott list for wearing a UK shirt to the game? Discuss.
Ooh.
Man, that's a lot to take in.
This could be like a novella.
Durango size. I tell you the type of guy Durango is. He's from Durango, Colorado. Joined Psych 1 Fanatic in July of 2010, and he's got Vanilla Ice as his avatar. I can respect that. That's much respect. To you, Durango. I don't know. Do you want to tackle that? I think most people are just very entertained by the question itself.
The question itself just paints such an interesting picture. I mean, kind of write a short story about it.
Yeah.
I think it would be to really offer anything would be conjecture and just as fictionalized as writing that short story. But
yeah, here's what happens. Nazlong makes six threes against Kentucky. Jameel McKay has 14 rebounds.
He gets called for a blocking foul in the outside the restricted area.
Niang gets tossed on a BS flagrant two. It's just total BS. He shouldn't have been called for it, but it's Niang and his overzealous a little bit. You know, the personality just spews out. And he really talks some trash after it gets ejected. Iowa State loses without the apology letter.
By one. Calipari also comes way out of the coaching area. Yeah. And there's no whistle for that.
And then he turns around and flips off the Iowa State crowd, but nobody catches it on camera.
What? That's a dynamite story right there. We'd like the Cyclones to win that game, of course, though.
Yeah. Eric BJ. If Iowa State wins the Big 12, number one or two seed, or a top two seed? Well, it depends on what they do in Kansas City, but if they win the Big 12, and let's just say they win in Kansas, you're a one seed because the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball. I feel like whoever wins the Big 12 should have a pretty good opportunity to be a one seed. Do you object?
No, I agree completely, but I also know that sometimes when the Big 12 beats up on each other, and we've been talking about the winning team having maybe four or five losses, whether a team coming out of a conference that maybe isn't as stacked from top to the bottom – and has a bigger national name. Let's say it's not Kansas coming out on top. Let's say it's Iowa State. Where do the scales tip there? I mean, there's a committee, just like the college football playoff, which we had some fun talking about the strange happenings there. I mean, I'd like to think that given if it holds up like it looks like it is now, that the Big 12 is definitely the strongest conference from top to bottom, that will lead to the respect that is deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen too many strange things happen that I could see a bunch of teams, let's say they're co-champs, ending up 2-4 seeds or something.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, if it went toward form, I'd agree with you that would certainly deserve a 1 seed.
Okay. We got a lot to get to, so we need to plow through some of these. We're already at 45 minutes. It seems like we just started. Guacamole 7, great name. I'm just going to get to the basis of your question. To steal a phrase from Fram Fraschilla, would you rather have Niang for 4 years or New Orleans Noel for 1? I'd rather have Niang for 4.
Oh, yeah, no question. No question.
Is there any concern that we are not going to go after the 4-year types anymore? This is more for discussion purposes only. Certainly not questioning Hoiberg's strategy. No, I think that they'll take the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that I hope not. I hope they're not. They're not just planning on taking all transfers. I don't think that. I think Fred's seen how the formula works.
Yep.
And the lifeblood of his program has actually been high school guys.
Yeah, you take transfers as needed to fill a role that is absolutely necessary for the next season's team, and then you develop the guys like your Georges, your Nazes.
And think of a guy like Hollis Cook. Well, he's a freshman, or he's got 3 years left. That's basically like a 4-year guy.
Mm-hmm.
4 minus 3s. Yeah.
I think it's the right mix. It's transfers when needed and when available and when eager to come.
Jay Seavers, 24. Thank you for reminding me about updating the scholarship chart, buddy. He wants to know about Deontay Burton, the eligibility deal, 2.5 or 1.5 seasons. I feel like he's probably going to end up with 2, right? We kind of discussed this after the game.
It's
very
so
fuzzy
nebulous.
Because of the waiver deal.
Mm-hmm.
How many? So he's played a season, and his clock's already going for this year.
Yep.
So he still has his red shirt to burn.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be enrolled at Iowa State for the second semester of his sophomore year, but the clock still moves,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So he'll sit out from now until next December, which would be his junior year. So that leaves him with half of that season and then his senior season.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like would be the case. And, again, we don't know how these waivers are going to work because there were the ones that seem, again, the NCAA – prior to this season, set some weird precedents where one guy gets one, another guy that's seemingly in the same situation doesn't get one. But that's what it looks like to us. I mean, you would think 1.5 just on the face.
But he could get the waiver, too.
But if he gets the waiver, then, all bets are off there.
I don't know how he would get 2.5.
No, I really don't either, because then it would be as if – because a year and a half plus 2.5, that means there's no sitting out whatsoever. There's no real hardship.
Because he can't play this
year. There's no real hardship involved here.
He's not going to get a I don't think he'll get waived for this year eligibility. I just don't. That's the thing with McKay, too. I never thought McKay would get that waiver. I don't think they had a strong enough case. Now, Burton's deal is different. He's got some personal stuff that has happened family-wise, and maybe it will be different. But I don't. I would say don't plan on it, though.
Yeah,
and then
that would be the hardship thing. I was just meaning like medical type stuff for all that for himself. But that could play into it. That
since Sherron Dorsey Walker left, Deontay takes a scholarship next year. We're leaving one open for Diallo. Means one more scholarship. What type of player do you think that Fred is looking to fill that scholarship? I think that they've. I need to pull up the scholarship chart in front of me, which I'm doing right now. But I think that you're almost in a place where you can go best player available. Yeah, I'm looking right now. I mean, so you've got Darian Williams in the mix. Mm-hmm. And Hollis Cook will be in the mix. So here are your backcourt players for that team. Naz Long. Well, Dorsey Walker's out. You got Naz Long, Monte Morris, Matt Thomas, Hollis Cook, Clayton Custer. Darian Williams is a combo I'd consider more of a wing. Down low, you've got McKay, Nader, Niang, and Sal Boris with Darian Williams. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on the Diallo situation, obviously. I would bet, I would bet they'd probably try and get another graduate transfer.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. Mm-hmm. No, just based off of how this has worked.
I would agree. Maybe somebody with the you know, if you could, the body and skill set of maybe a Nader that's got some length and mm-hmm. can do, you know,
versatility.
Outside, very versatile.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. I want to get to as many of these as possible. Carvers for Math. If Santa could put a conference robe win in Fred Hoiberg's stocking, what does he want, Kansas or Texas? Kansas.
Yeah.
No question. He wants Kansas. How many more wins we will see next year for the football team? How many for the basketball team this year? We don't need to talk about basketball. We've hit basketball. Football, I don't know. It's too much that's got to happen still. I want to see the recruiting process, but I would guess 4 or 5. I don't know. And that's probably being optimistic too. I don't know. I don't know.
That's kind of where I'm at too. But, I mean, is this the year where the what looks like there might be some depth at defensive line becomes quality depth? Like some of those guys can really perform right away and they don't get hurt.
Yeah, if they're healthy, they could go to a bowl game. Yeah. The schedule eases up.
Yeah, if they're healthy, it sets up well for them to do that, to gain some confidence potentially early in the season. It's always ifs.
Comes down to this, Paul. It comes down to this, Rob. Paul Rhodes, if – because I truly believe that this is not making an excuse for the man. I don't need to make an excuse for a man who's, making $2 million or whatever.
Yeah.
If you believe in Paul Rhodes and what he's doing, next year should be the year where it culminates and you see some real progress.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in what he's doing, because I think Paul's taken some bad beats at the poker table. He's been dealt 2-7 a lot, mm-hmm. the last couple of years. If the guy gets any sort of luck at all and you're a believer in what he's doing, you should see significant improvement. Now, some might call that blind faith, and that's fine. But if you don't, then if he's not doing it, if Paul's plan isn't going to work, next year's not going to be any better, and there'll be a new head football coach at Iowa State in 2016. That'd be my analysis to that.
No, I couldn't put it any better. I mean, they've got to get to a bowl game next year one way or another. And let's face it, 3 of those first 4 years, nobody thought they'd get to a bowl game from outside of this program, and they did it. It needs to be one of those types of years where, in this case, though, the fan base expectation from a certain segment has gone way, 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 way down. And, of course, their hackles are up after the last 2 seasons. So we'll see. I wouldn't put it past them. I think they have the talent to do it, but that talent has to stay healthy, and so far it hasn't.
Okay, I'm skipping over a lot of these because a lot of these are just basically – the same questions being asked again. Oh, this is a good one because we're both Vikings fans. Just get Cy. As a Vikings fan, do you or do you not want AP back on the team next year? Do you think there's even a remote possibility he is back? What position do you want for the first round of the draft? Super Bowl favorite. Draft question, I want offensive line.
Yes.
Super Bowl favorite, I would say the Seahawks probably right now, but I love Tom Brady. I love greatness. So I'm going to pull for the Give me the Pats right now. And then AP, yay or nay, I'd say it's a coin toss. I was really leaning towards nay a month ago. I feel like it's going to be tough for them to sell PR-wise. But what do you think about that?
First of all, I hate to say it, I like the Packers pulling it together. They've shown
– Really?
Yeah, I think in a bit of an upset, but Rodgers is healthy. They got so many playmakers. I think the Packers could do it. I'm just going to go against because I obviously it's Patriots Seahawks based on how they're playing now. I'd like AP to be back. I mean, obviously what happened. I mean, I again, not making excuses for an individual, but this is a guy who stayed out of trouble his own life, whose dad has been in jail most of his life,
mm-hmm.
and was disciplined.
That's
that
a good
way
to look at
himself.
It, yeah.
So he felt that somehow maybe he tied that level of discipline, which obviously to many others is strictly abuse, plain and simple. Maybe he had something to do with the fact that he was able to stay straight and narrow, which isn't easy for a lot of people in those situations, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he really thought he certainly didn't think he was committing any sort of abuse. So, I mean, I think he gets that now. How society views that, versus his personal situation.
Yeah.
So I'd like him to come back. Will he? I don't know. It all depends on how the PR winds blow. Does the NFL get any more black guys? I mean, we had the whole, you know, the way that was viewed versus the way Ray Rice was viewed and that whole saga of everything. I think a lot of moving parts there, but I'd like to see him get a chance to come back to the Vikings.
So we were out playing blackjack the other night for the Cyclone Fanatic Christmas party.
Yeah.
And this is – so we had this blackjack dealer named Kathy for – it was me and Adam Gray and Brent Bloom and Matt Van Winkle were at this table for hours, probably 4 hours. And Kathy was just killing us, man. Like – I'm not kidding. The woman went like 2 hours and the dealer didn't bust once. I mean, it was just infuriating. Yeah. So I started trying to rattle her cage a little bit. Really? I started to ask her like really like weird questions and stuff.
Uh-oh.
So this is where Gray's coming from here. He goes, two questions for Chris, in parentheses, Kathy wants to know. What? This is what I asked the lady. I was like, so Kathy, tell me this. And keep in mind, I had had some old Jack Daniels at this point. I go, what is the weirdest first date you've ever been on? And this lady just looked at me like, who in the hell are you? And then I say, then I asked her, I go, who's the ugliest man you've ever kissed? Tell me about him. And I was just trying to get her rattle her cage a little bit.
Yeah.
Bloom chimes in and wants to know, what's your favorite 90s boy band? This woman was from some Asian country, so she had no idea what a boy band even was.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys having a little fun right there. As I was having fun.
Yeah. Kirk and I mean, I'd already ducked out.
You and Kirk were being wimps.
Being the old man that I am.
You guys are wusses. You and Kirk Holland, my gosh.
Yeah.
I expect that from you, but Kirk?
Yeah, I know. I was a little bit surprised that he was as lame as I was.
Kirk's got like 10 girls at home. You'd think he'd want a night out with the boys. Kirk's just like, I'm going to go home. You guys are... I hope that little George
like
with
I
an
said,
S.
I'm not.
I
cool.
hope little George with an S doesn't change me like that. My gosh.
We'll see. Might take the jack. Might not.
Mega Man 035. What's the best comeback Fred could have when coaches are playing the quote leaving for the NBA card against him in recruiting? I would say the NBA wants me. And that's pretty cool. Isn't that where you're trying to go? Why wouldn't you want to play for a guy who's coveted by the NBA? And I'm cool and dreamier than those guys. That's what I would say.
Yeah. You use that. Yeah, you use that to your advantage until and if when you something opens up that's really desirable.
Red-blooded. Hey, Chris, which activities do you feel like you have the edge on Bill Snyder? 1, water aerobics. 2, standing for long periods of time. 3, walking the length of the field. I firmly believe that I don't have the edge on Bill Snyder in any of life's activities. Bill Snyder is better than me at everything.
Wardrobe?
Oh, yeah. Bill's, I mean, the old Buffalo Wild Wings bowl, zip-up fleece. You really think that I got the ego to say that I'm better than the great Bill Snyder at anything? Heck no, man. Snyder... I truly believe, you know, Jesus is up there crafting what the world is going to be like. One of the first things he did was, I need to make this football coach to be in Manhattan, Kansas. I want to create greatness, and he created Bill Snyder. And then Art Briles.
Kind of an inspirational figure. See, I think Art might have come from somewhere else. But
I love Art Briles.
I know, but there's I don't know, there's a sorcery. There's a sorcery to him. I know they call Snyder the wizard, but
Tom Herman
he is anointed. He is that guy. What an example. Yeah, I think it would be fair to say water aerobics might be close. I know you're an aficionado, but I know he'd beat me in all those things too.
Couple guys asked, Mick Dreyer wanted to know, a couple people have asked this. Big 12 season record for the Clones, how many wins? 11, 11 plus, 12, 12 plus. I think the Vegas line is like an 11 plus. I would put it at 12 plus just because I think they went out at Hilton. And I think other than West Virginia, potentially Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, they should be able to – this team's good enough to go on the road and win.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I think where does Kansas State factor in there? As tough as they are to beat at home.
Yeah. I still feel like they win one of those games on the road.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
two.
It's West Virginia because, you know.
Maybe it's Oklahoma. I think any of those games are winnable. This team can win any game on the schedule. There's not one game on there where I go, oh, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. No,
you know?
I agree. History's a funny thing, though, the way they've kind of gone back and forth with Oklahoma – home and away recently, but No, I could see. I'd hope 12, you know, but 11 plus is definitely slightly safer.
We're getting a lot of the same. Okay, we're pretty much done. I apologize if I did not read your name specifically on the podcast. We tried to get through as many as possible. We're at an hour right now. I physically can't upload podcasts as bigger, much bigger than this on the website.
I ruined everything with that Guatemala talk.
No, I think it was good. We're peeling back onions that were layers of the onion. We're learning about Rob Gray.
Well, at least anything that, you know, that was at least cool. I was once semi-cool.
We'll probably do a podcast at some point next week. I don't know exactly when. I'm going to try and take some time off. So that means Iowa State will probably get a bunch of recruits. You know, we're going to get a virus on the site. I'm just kidding. Don't take that seriously. No, but I'm going to try and take some time off next week.
Yeah.
I think you are too.
As you should. So, as everyone should around the holidays.
Yep. Thanks, folks. It was fun. It was fun answering your questions. You guys rule. We want to thank you. Our podcast over the weekend moved all the way up to number 2 on iTunes. That's because you guys keep listening. Please tell your friends. We love you. Thank you for listening. Thanks to you, Rob. Been great this year. It's been awesome to have you on board. I'm excited
great
for
to be here.
I'm excited for basketball season. But that's all we got for you today. You get any parting thoughts by you? Or are you good to go?
Just great questions. Echo what you said.
All right, brother.
Enjoy your holiday season.
You
Christmas
too.
And New Year's.
Yeah, it's yeah. Christmas to me.
Yeah.
Just kidding, everybody. I love you all. And to all, a good night.